Well, ecstatic crowds poured across the border in Berlin 20 years ago. A number of key world leaders were deeply anxious about the turn of events, worried about the prospect of a unified Germany that they were sure would follow. The nonprofit National Security Archive has just published secret documents from the time. You can find them at npr.org. And the archive's director, Tom Blanton, joins us to talk about what those files show. Tom, welcome back.
Hi, Melissa.
One of those documents is of a conversation between Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev and British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. This was a little bit more than a month before the fall of the wall. And Margaret Thatcher flat out tells Gorbachev, Britain and Western Europe are not interested in the unification of Germany.
She was anxious as all get out. I mean, she really did not want Germany to be reunified. And so she was coming to Gorbachev to say, do whatever you can to stop it. You've got those troops in East Germany. We want you to stop it. She actually tells the note taker, stop taking notes. Of course, his name was Anatoly Chernyayev. He runs out in the hallway and scribbles it down. And we have his diary today, which is part of what we're publishing. It's fascinating because Chernyayev later writes, you know, Thatcher wants to prevent Germany from coming together, but she wants to do it with our hands. That is to say, not her own. The top leaders were really worried. I mean, here in Washington, George Bush's national security advisor, Brent Scowcroft, scribbles in one of his sort of daily diary entries, gosh, you know, we might be better off if Germany stayed divided, because at least then we'd have a little more stability. They were all scared to death of the unknown. What could happen?
Well, what was the fear of a unified, strong Germany?
I think from the American side, the fear was a Germany that would go neutral and therefore no longer be part of the alliances and would therefore be this big wild card in the middle of Europe. I think for the Soviet Union, which had been invaded by Germany under Hitler, the fear was for a revanchist power in a way that would start threatening all the neighbors. But what's fascinating about the anxiety is that the Germans themselves kind of take their own fate into their hands. First, the East Germans pushing across the wall that night, and then voting for unification, but in a very interesting, peaceful, economic way. I mean, one of the historians was at a conference the other day, said, you know, the Poles had the Pope, but the Germans had the Deutschmark.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Bush administration's position at the time. A couple of years earlier, in 1987, Ronald Reagan, of course, made his famous pronouncement, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And the impression would be that's exactly what the Bush administration wanted, the wall to come down, Germany to reunite.
That Reagan speech has risen to the level of myth, but it was really, I think, directed more at a domestic audience. He was at a weak point in his presidency after the Iran-Contra affair, so he was kind of taking back some of the old rhetoric that morning in America, Reagan again. And I think American policy was real clear. Yes, we were for a united Germany, except getting there was a whole nother matter. And the hallmark of the Bush administration, I think, during 1989 is worry, anxiety, insecurity. And you see it over and over in the internal notes, the diaries, where they say, Gorbachev's out in front. He's more popular than we are. He's got the initiative. And they never seem to ask themselves, wow, all these initiatives? Maybe that's in our best interest. Bush actually writes in his diary in July 1989, after he met a bunch of dissidents in Eastern Europe, he says, things are spinning out of control. I better get together with Gorbachev and see if we can slow it down. Interesting. U.S. policy was to slow down the change in 1989.
And within the Soviet Politburo at the time, what was the thinking? Was this the logical extension of Gorbachev's policies of glasnost and perestroika, or was this going off in some wild direction that they didn't think they could control?
I think logical extension. There's this wonderful moment on November 3rd, 1989, where in the Politburo, the foreign minister, Shevardnadze, says, you know, we ought to take that wall down ourselves. There's not much response to it in the Politburo. They go on and talk about other topics, but they had already, Gorbachev at least, had already decided to take down the barriers. He had this idea about a common European home. Wasn't exactly a concrete plan, but it was a vision. So when the wall fell, there's actually some joy. Amazing. There was joy in Moscow, worry in Washington, high anxiety in other capitals, too.
No worry, though, in Moscow that this would represent the end of Soviet domination in Eastern Europe?
They didn't see it that way. Gorbachev didn't see it that way. He saw it as part of what he kept calling the pan-European process toward one common home. A lot of contradictions there. He sure didn't see unification happening so quickly. He'd had a different plan for it. But interesting that in Moscow, there wasn't panic. They didn't see it that way, the way we look back at it today in this kind of golden glow and say, oh, that was the end of communism. We're kind of imposing our view today. But at the time, it was very different.
Tom Blanton, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Melissa.
Tom Blanton is director of the National Security Archive.